Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Musicals with Cheese presents Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, performed by Jess and Andrew. Marley was dead. There was no doubt about that. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail, as dead as Prince. But Scrooge never painted out the name above his warehouse door. Scrooge himself was a hard, cold man. Then his nephew enters. A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Ugh, humbug.
Christmas, a humbug, Uncle. You don't mean that, I'm sure.
And what right have you to be merry?
What right have you to be dismal?
Ah, humbug.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
Nephew, keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
As I've said before, don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow. You seem just the type we want to have around a bunch of people.
Good afternoon.
Exit nephew, and Bob starts to put his hat and coat on.
You'll want all day off tomorrow, I suppose, right?
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient.
It is only once a year, sir. Only once!
You're gonna work every goddamn fucking day I tell you to. And that's a goddamn poor, shitty-ass excuse to take every 25th off in December. Get out of here.
Okay. Goodbye. Later that night, Scrooge was alone in his lodgings. The sound of the wind howled down the chimney, and then suddenly, a strange figure appeared. The figure looked exactly like Scrooge's dead partner, Marley. As we so subtly foreshadowed earlier, he had his pigtail, usual waistcoat, tights, and boots, and he had a long chain clasped around his middle. This chain was long and wound about him like a tail. He was a furry now. Scrooge peers at him. He does not really believe what he's seeing.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
I mean, I guess that's implied, but who were you then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. But now, call me Mr. Pedantic.
What do you want with me?
Much, but could I have a hug as well?
No hugs.
Oh, come on, please. Just a little huggle.
Can you sit down? That's in the script.
I can, I believe. I bend to my knees and I sit down.
Do it then.
You don't believe in me.
No, I think I need to check into an insane asylum or something. This is nutty.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because even a little thing can affect them, okay? I was watching Vsauce, and I actually learned that you might be like a food poisoning or something like that, and he told me all about hallucinations. I'm not buying this. Humbug, I say. Humbug.
At this, the spirit raised a frightful cry. Ah! And shook its chain with such a dismal and appalling noise. Scrooge fell upon his knees and clasped his hands before his face. Ah!
Christ, can you not do that? Jesus. Oh, why are you in here? Why are you bothering me?
Again, the specter raised a cry and shook its chain and wrung its shadowy hands. Look at my shadowy hands. I'm wringing them.
Oh, I'm looking at them. Oh, my goodness. Why?
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard and foot by foot and inch by inch and millimeter by millimeter.
Some of these are different systems.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance of and hope of escaping my fate of being inconvenienced by having a chain around me that makes it slightly harder to move, despite the fact that I'm a ghost.
You're always good to me, friend. Thank you for this chance, this opportunity.
You're welcome. You never really gave me that appreciation in life, so I'm appreciating it now.
Yeah, nope. You know, no issue, you know? You were always good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should mention, though,
you will be haunted by, you know, three spirits. It's already become a thing. It's really hard to call it off now, so you're kind of stuck with this. This is how
you're going. Do I have any say in this one? Like, I'm not really feeling... I was gonna, you know, eat some ham, get a good night's sleep, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. Like, you'd have to call them off, and they all have different unions you have to call, so it's better just to take them all on in one night.
No, I get it. The union thing, it's it's part of the biz, you know? I get that.
Yeah, you get it. It's a ghost union. They're crazy, and then you...
I didn't think they would have ghost unions.
Well, there's a ghost union, and then there's a spirit union. The ghost union is not quite as, like, fettered as the spirit union, like...
So you're part of the ghosts, and yes. I'm gonna get visited by spirits?
Spirits are different than ghosts. It's like potato-potato, but there are very specific different sections of the ghosts and spirits.
I'm just glad I don't hire any of the ghosts or spirits at my shop.
That would be nice. I mean, yeah, you would have to pay them an equal wage. They demand at least a living wage, and I know you don't do that.
Not doing that one.
my chain.
All right. Why don't they just all come at one time? That'd be a little easier.
Look, to see no more, and look that, for your own sake, you remember what has passed between us, even that time we kissed in college.
I try to forget that one.
Don't forget, we kissed, it was nice.
Is he gone?
Scrooge went to bed again and thought it was over and over and could make nothing of it until the clock struck one and a second figure appeared. It was like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man. It wore a tunic of the purest white, and round its waist a bound shiny belt, the sheen of which was beautiful. It held a branch of fresh green holly in its hand, and from the crown of its head there sprung a bright, clear jet of light.
Are you the spirit, the one that Marley told me about?
Yeah, I am. That's me.
Which one were you?
I'm the Ghost of Christmas Past, dude. Like, yeah.
Long past?
Like mid-90s to like the start of time. That's my range. So mostly your past, though. That's where my focus is, yeah.
So, you know, what's the deal?
You know, the union just gave me the paperwork. I perused it before I came down. But more or less, the reason why I'm here is your own welfare, dude. Like,
I don't believe in welfare.
Of course you don't. I had Rupert Murdoch a week ago, and I had to fucking do this whole thing with him.
Humbug.
Get up and walk with me, come on.
All right.
The ghost took Scrooge's arm, and they passed straight through the wall to a distant place where they stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. So, wait, out of character. Like, does that mean there's just a field on my hands, or is that just like...
No, both sides of the road.
That's stupid. Why would you say it like that?
Good heavens. This is where I was a boy. There was fields on both sides of the road here.
Yeah, these are but shadows of things that have been, so don't go touching people and shit thinking you can, like, butterfly effect that thing. Went through three of these things before we learned that. That's why we ended up with Trump as president. That's our bad.
They walked along the road. Scrooge recognized every gate and post and tree until a little market town appeared in the distance, with its bridge, its church, its winding river, and then they came to the school. The school is not quite deserted. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there, right there, still. I dare you to poke it in the eye. It won't hurt him, but just do it and see what happens.
I'm pretty sure was it me in the school? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's you. That's
probably was me.
That's little baby you. You can't tell by the nose.
It's hard to recognize me before I was rich.
The ghost and Scrooge entered the school, crossed the hall to a door at the back of the house. It opened before them and disclosed a long, bare, melancholy room, made barer by the lines of plain deal forms and desks. At one of these, a lonely boy was reading a near feeble fire, and Scrooge sat upon that form and wept to see his poor, forgotten self as he used to be.
Oh, I was so poor.
Dude, what's the matter? Like,
you crying like a little bitch, and usually we wait until like our third trip before we even start the waterworks, dude.
There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should have given him something, because I used to be poor, and man, it sucks.
What song did he sing, though, dude?
That one Mariah Carey song.
Yeah, he deserved that. You should have given him a shilling. Like, man, that is my jam. I mean, I am literally a representation of Christmas, like, 90s on, so that's, like, a more recent jam for me.
Wouldn't that be present?
Mid-90s? No, sir.
Okay.
That is the past, and only 90 kids remember. Let's see another Christmas. How about that? Enter Fran, who runs up to the boy.
I have come to bring you home, dear brother.
Home?
Yes.
Little Fan?
Yes, that's my name, brother. Brother Scrooge? Big Scrooge?
Isn't it Fran? Why does the script say Fan?
Because spelling is odd. I didn't write it.
Oh.
Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. That's home like heaven. We're to be together all the Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world.
Your sister was always a delicate creature, but she had a large heart.
So she had.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, she died a woman, I think, and had, as I think, children?
One child.
Ah, yeah, true. Your nephew, Fred. Fred was his name, yeah. Mm. All right, next to go to another place. Let's go. They left the school behind them and moved into the busy city. It was Christmas time again, but it was evening and the streets were lighted up. Do you know this place, man? It's like totally, totally lame.
Was I apprenticed here?
They went in at the sight of an old gentleman and a Welsh wig sitting behind a high desk. Scrooge cried in great excitement.
Why, it's old Fezziwig. Bless his heart, it's Fezziwig alive again.
Oh, ho there, Ebenezer! Dick!
Enter young Scrooge and Dick. Scrooge's former self, now a grown young man, came briskly in, accompanied by his fellow apprentice.
Yo-ho, my boys! No more work tonight! It's Christmas Eve! Money, money, money!
In came a fiddler with a music book, and he went up to the desk and started to play. In came Fezziwig, one vast substantial smile. In came the three Miss Fezziwigs with their young men, followers beaming and lovable, and everyone started to dance all night to the best song ever. During the whole of this time, Scrooge remembered everything, enjoyed everything, and underwent the strangest agitation.
A small matter to make these silly folks so full of gratitude, man. Like, dude, I smoked like 3 joints here. This party is kicking.
Small?
What's the matter?
I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk just now, that's all.
My time grows short, man. It's almost 1999. Quick!
Again, Scrooge saw himself. He was older now, a man in the prime of his life. His face had not the harsh and rigid lines of later years, but it had begun to wear the signs of care. He was not alone, but sat by the side of a young, fair girl, in whose eyes there were tears.
Another idol has displaced me in your affections!
What idol has displaced you?
A golden one! Your money! Our contract is an old one! It was made when we were both poor and content to be so! You are chained! You got all this money and you just keep it!
Have I ever sought release?
Every other Sunday!
Oh, that's not what you meant. In words? No, never.
In what then?
In a changed nature! In an altered spirit! In another atmosphere of life! May you be happy in the life you have chosen, Scrooge!
Spirit, show me no more. Bring me back home. Why do you... Is this actually fun for you? I'm not sure.
Great read. That sounded like you were really, like, emotionally touched by that scene. Like that.
No more. I don't want to see any more. Bring me home.
We gotta go see one more. Come on. Don't be a little bitch. Let's go.
Okay.
But the ghost wanted him to see what had happened to Belle. Scrooge saw Belle, now a comely matron, sitting with her children by the fire, and they all rushed to greet the father, who came home laden with Christmas toys and presents. Then there were shouts of wonder and delight as the children took the gifts. The husband says,
"Belle, I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon."
"Who was it?"
"It was Mr. Scrooge. I passed his office window, and as it was not shut up, and he had a candle inside, I could scarcely help seeing him. His partner lies upon the point of death, I hear, and there he sat alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe."
Oh, Spirit, I don't need to see this. Like, really, Gaston gets the girl and not me?
"Let's Come make on. Love, Belle, my wife."
Oh, Spirit, get me out of here.
"I told you, these are the shadows of things that have been, that they are what are. Do not blame me that he is totally pwning what could have been your wife." Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, get me out of here. I can't even bear
oh,
it.
Oh, my God. Look at that thing. That's like... like a fire hose.
Oh,
like,
no.
The ghost faded away as he spoke, and then, to his relief, Scrooge found himself in his own bedroom again. He was so exhausted by what he had seen that he almost fell onto the bed, and then he sank into a heavy sleep. You know, the normal reaction to such a thing.
I'm just really tired.
When the clock struck again, he woke with a start to find his room had undergone a transformation. The walls and ceiling were hung with crisp leaves of holly, mistletoe, and ivy, which reflected back the light, heaped on the floor to form a kind of throne with turkeys, geese, great joints of meat, and seething bowls of punch. In this easy state, there sat a jolly giant glorious to see.
Hey, it's... Hi.
He was clothed in one simple green robe or mantle bordered with white fur, its feet observable beneath the ample folds of garment. There also bare on its head wore a holly wreath set here and there with shining icicles. Its dark brown curls were long and free, and girded round its middle was an antique scabbard with no sword in it, and the ancient sheath was eaten up with rust.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
All right. Come in, and know me better, man. I am the ghost of Christmas Present. Look upon me. You have never seen the likes of me before, probably because we haven't met before.
I mean... yeah, I guess I haven't seen you before. You mind if I have some of these, like, grapes or whatever you have here?
No, they're my grapes. Don't you fucking touch them, you fucking prick.
Can I have some of the wine, at least?
How about you buy the wine off of me, and then we see how much you really want it.
I see what you're doing there.
I've never walked forth with the younger members of my family, have you?
I mean, I saw the one guy. He was like a stoner.
That is definitely one of my brothers and sisters, or perhaps a former version of me. You never know. I only stick around for a certain amount of time. You're never going to guess how many siblings I have, can you?
All right, can we get this over with? Like, I don't care.
Fine, touch my robe.
Here we go. Where do I don't have to touch it anywhere weird.
Touch it, goddammit. Scrooge did as he was told, and it held fast. Holly, mistletoe, red berries, ivy, and turkeys vanished instantly. So did the room, the fire, the ruddy glow, the hour of night, and the spirit led him straight to Bob Cratchit's house, with the sprinkling of his touch.
There they saw Mrs. Cratchit, Cratchit's wife, obviously, as she laid the Christmas table, assisted by Belinda Cratchit, while Master Peter Cratchit plunged a fork into the saucepan. Then two of the smaller Cratchits and a boy and a girl came tearing in, happy and excited with their sister Martha, who had been out at work. Wow, that's a big family. Like, where?
Yeah, maybe if you guys are, you know, so tight on money, you shouldn't have so many kids.
You could probably afford a condom, couldn't you, Bob? I wonder when your father and your brother, Tiny Tim, will return home from church.
Seriously, they call him Tiny Tim? That's like his name? Come on.
And then they come in. Oh, there you are. How little Tim do behave in church now, then? As good as gold and better. He told me coming home that he hoped the people saw him in church because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men seen.
But not this one.
I mean, they were happy that they got their tithes in that day. Well, dinner's almost ready. You should see the goose. Then Scrooge watched as they ate their happy meal. After they all had happy meals, by the way. That's all they had. They each got toys. That was also their Christmas gifts.
Scrooge does not pay Bob very well.
No, they ate Happy Meals, and the kids' presents were whatever Happy Meal toy they got. And this was a joyous experience, and everyone was happy. And when the meal was done, they raised their glasses full of shitty Coke with Grimace on it for a toast. A Merry Christmas to all of us, my dears. God bless us. God bless us, everyone!
I really hope Tiny Tim lives. He's like my favorite. Spirit, does he live?
I mean, everybody dies eventually, don't you know?
No spoilers, come on. Does he live?
I see a vacant seat with a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Oh, no, that would be really disappointing.
I'll give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast. The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it. My dear, the children, Christmas Day. I'll drink his health for your sake, and the day not his. Long life to him, and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. They were happy, grateful, and pleased with one another, and contented with the time. And when they faded in the bright sparklings of the spirit's touch at parting, Scrooge had his eye upon them, especially on Tiny Tim, until the last. It was a look only seen by Jared Fogle before. Then they moved onward toward Scrooge's nephew's house. The family were playing music and enjoying games. Scrooge smiled as he watched them, still thinking about Tiny Tim.
Oh, Tiny Tim.
Is it an object? No. Is it an animal? Is it a bear?
I know what it is.
No. Is it a bear? You might say so.
It's a bear.
I can hear you laughing, Fred. Is it a person who is like a bear? You might say so. I know what it is. I have found out. What is it? It's your Uncle Scrooge.
I knew it.
It is, and though he dislikes Christmas, it has given us plenty of merriment. Let's toast my Uncle Scrooge. Uncle Scrooge!
Uncle Scrooge! Oh, not me?
We need to move on!
I wish we could stay a little longer. This is so much fun.
Yeah, life is fun, but you don't get to enjoy very much when you're an asshole. All right, my life on this globe is short, and you're wasting my goddamn time!
You're a spirit.
I'm a spirit, not a ghost. Ghosts are eternal. Spirits have a shelf life, and that's why we need the fucking union.
When does your life end?
As soon as the contract's up. They flew over bleak moorlands and a ghostly sea, then landed in some barren place. All right, get in there, kids. I gotta make a point to Scrooge. Get in my robe.
I can't see anything because the stage is dark. Wait, hang on. Now that the lights are back on, I can suddenly see something strange under your robes.
I opened my robe and out crawled two miserable children. There was a boy and a girl, yellow, meager, and scowling.
How long have these kids been in here?
They are always in my robe, forever and ever.
Are they yours?
In a way, they are all of men. The boy is ignorance. The girl is want.
Beware them both, but beware the boy most. For in his brow, I see the word doom, because I inscripted it in there with a Sharpie.
Have they no refuge?
Are there no prisons?
You are using my own words. I am learning your lesson.
Fun fact, you never said that.
I didn't say that. That was not something I said.
As he spoke, the clock struck 12, and Scrooge found himself back in bed. Again. Then slowly, a phantom walks in, gravely, silently approaching Scrooge. When it came, Scrooge bent down upon his knee, for in the very air through which the spirit moved, it seemed to scatter gloom and misery, like a Dementor, but differently. It was shrouded in a deep black garment, which concealed its form and left nothing visible to save one outstretched hand. The mysterious presence filled Scrooge with a solemn dread. He knew no more, for the spirit never spoke nor moved.
Ghost of Christmas future yet to come? I'm not sure who are you?
The spirit did not reply, but pointed onward with its hand, as opposed to with something else.
All right, I'm prepared to bear your company and do it with a thankful heart. Go ahead. I'll just follow you, I guess.
The spirit stopped beside one little knot of businessmen. Observing that they had pointed to them, Scrooge advanced to listen to hear their talk.
When did he die? Last night, I believe. It's likely to be a cheap funeral, for upon my life, I don't know if anyone would go to it. I wouldn't mind going if lunch is provided.
Oh man, nobody likes this guy.
Quiet and dark, beside him stood the phantom, with his outstretched hand. They left a busy scene and went into an obscure part of town where Scrooge and the phantom entered shop, just as three dark figures entered it, carrying bundles.
What do you have? A seal or two, pencil case, a pair of sleeve buttons, and a brooch. That's all I can give you. Who's next?
Sheets and towels, a new wedding apparel, two old-fashioned silver teaspoons, a pair of sugar tongs, and a few boots.
Always give too much to ladies. It's a weakness of mine, and that's why I ruin myself. Here's your money.
And now to undo my bundle, Joe.
What do you call this, bed curtains? You don't mean to say that you took them down, rings and all, with them lying there?
Yes, I do. Why not?
You're born to make your fortune.
I have his blankets, too.
How could you take his blankets?
This is the end of it, you see. He frightened everyone away from him, and when he was alive, to the profit us when he's dead.
Huh. Spirit, I think I get it. The case of this unhappy man might be my own. My life tends to be that way now. Let me see some tenderness connected with a death. That'd be nice.
Oh, you're gonna love this shit. They entered poor Bob Cratchit's house, the dwelling he had visited before, and found the mother and the children seating around the fire.
Your father is late tonight.
I think he walked a little slower these last few evenings, Mother.
I'd have known him to walk with...
He got choked back to steer.
I'd known him to walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder, very fast indeed.
He was very light to carry, and his father loved him so that he was no trouble. No trouble! There your father is at the door. Oh, I gotta wrap myself up. You went today then, Robert?
Yes, my dear. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is, but you'll see it often. I promised him I would walk there on a Sunday.
My little child.
No, Tiny Tim, he was my favorite character. All right, tell me who died.
Darkness fell again as they moved toward a graveyard. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed down to one.
Before I go where you're pointing there, are these the shadows of the things that will be, or maybe, or like what kind of time travel is this?
Still, the ghost pointed downward to the grave by which it stood. Scrooge crept toward it, trembling as he went, and following and upon the stone neglected grave was his own name, Ebenezer Scrooge!
Oh my God. Oh my god, it's me! I don't know how I didn't see that coming. That would make a lot of sense, because all the other times we went to see stuff relating to me, but now it's surprising. Oh my god, I'm gonna die and no one's gonna like me. Just like in real life.
Holding up his hands in a last prayer to have his fate reversed, he saw an alteration of the Phantom's hood and dress. It shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into a bedpost.
Yeah, what?
Yes, the bedpost was his own, and the bed was his, and the room was his own. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own to make amends in.
I will live in all the times that I went to, which is all times, past and future and now. And all the spirits shall be within me. Thank you, Jacob Marley, for setting me up with those guys. I feel so much better. The best therapists I've ever gotten.
You're welcome, Scrooge.
Oh.
Can I move in?
No.
I thought you were a changed man. That was the point.
What a ghost.
The point of all this, I wanted a new place to live. And since we kissed that one time, I assumed you...
Oh, get out of here, Jacob.
Oh.
I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather, I'm happy as an angel after I saw my own death. Nothing cheers me up like seeing my own grave. Wow, I'm so happy. Merry Christmas. Yippee. Wow, wow, wowie wow.
Suddenly the church bell rang and Scrooge rushed to the window, where he shouted to a passing boy.
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, Christmas Day!
It's Christmas Day. It's almost like I only slept one night. Holy crap, it's the next day. The spirits did it all in one night, just like they did. Wow, they can do anything they want to. Isn't that so cool? Hey, boy, I'm really happy because I just saw my own death. I literally was walked up to my grave. It was so great. Do you know the butchers on the corner? Go get the meat or something. I don't know.
I sure hope I did know how to get that meat.
Oh, go get the meat. Go buy a turkey. I saw my own death. I'm really happy.
You want the one as big as me?
Reasonable, but yeah, we'll try for that one.
Oh, come on. I mean, if you're buying this for something worthwhile.
Oh, just okay. Fine. Go buy it. Oh my god.
When he heard these words, the boy left like a shot to go fetch the turkey.
I'll send it to Bob's house. He won't even know who sent it. I don't know why I won't tell him, because, I mean, that would probably make him feel a little bit better about me, but I guess, who cares? It's fine.
From that day onward, Scrooge became as good a friend, as a good a master, as good a man, as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. But he let them laugh. He had no further meetings with any spirits, but it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone!
Hey, and just between you and me, Scrooge was still rich as hell, so it really, he didn't even have to lose his money. All he had to do was pretend to be a little nicer to people. Isn't that great? What a classic story. What a great tale.
All right, thank you guys for listening. We hope you have a merry and safe Christmas from Musicals with Cheese. I hope this was a fun little trip down a Christmas Carol Lane.
Bah humbug.
I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Scrooge McDuck.
And thank you for listening to Musicals with Cheese. We'll have a normal episode on Wednesday, so look forward to that. Oh, wait, we need to sing a song because this is a Christmas episode.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Hang on. hang on.
Ready?
Three, and a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four.
Feed the world, let them know it's Christmas time.
Feed the world, do they know it's Christmas time at all? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let them know it's Christmas time. That was good.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.